back to the apostles and other disciples all of what happened on the Emmaus Road. And as they're discussing everything, Jesus makes this sort of surprise appearance, doesn't he, in the middle of the group. And it says they were really frightened and terrified because they thought it was a ghost. And they weren't really expecting it at all. It was totally unexpected. And Luke says they couldn't believe it because of joy and amazement. So the whole thing was really strange for them. And the great thing was that the risen Lord was not a phantom or a hallucination, was it? He was real. The Jesus who died was in truth the Christ who rose from the dead. And that's a great truth that we believe. As William Barclay writes, our Christian faith is not based on people's dreams or on hopes or imaginations, but on the one who in actual historical fact faced and conquered death and rose again. And I found it really helpful as I was reading and thinking about the passage to have a look at Luke's account of the resurrection in the beginning of Acts, because his account of the resurrection doesn't just stop at the end of Luke, but he goes on when he starts the book of Acts. He carries on, and he says this in verse 3. In my former book, Theolophus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So it's really encouraging, isn't it, to know that Jesus appeared to him so many times. Not all of them were recorded, obviously. When he talks about the 40 days, there were a lot of appearances. And I kind of felt the disciples got used to him appearing in their midst. And so they learned not to be frightened when he turned up. And more importantly, about these resurrection stories and the number of times that Jesus appeared to them, it underlines this authenticity and the truth of the resurrection of Jesus. So if we go back to our reading today, the disciples are not just startled. They're really frightened. He's just appeared out of nowhere, unexpected, as I said. And they're thinking, oh, it must be a ghost. And Jesus comes with his greeting, peace be to you. And he says to the disciples, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your mind? He's always saying to them, why are you worried? Why are you fearful? It's me. And he reassures them here. He says, it's me. I'm here. I'm flesh and blood. I did rise from the dead. Don't worry. You can have a look at my hands. You can see the marks of the nails on my hands. Look at my hands where I was crucified. And look at my feet. You can see on my feet the nails, marks where the nails went in, and where they pierced his feet on the cross. And so he sticks his hands and feet out to them to have a look. It says that because of their excitement, it just seemed too wonderful for them to believe, and they still couldn't believe it, nevertheless. And so Jesus realizes they need some additional proof. So he asks them, can you give me something to eat? Have you got a piece of fish? And then they are still in disbelief and amazement. And he takes his piece of fish and he eats it in front of them. And then I think it's at that point they really get it, don't they? But they really needed to know that he rose, that it really was him, and that he had this new resurrection body. And it's important for us to know that Jesus had a resurrection, a physical resurrection. It wasn't a spiritual resurrection. Some might think Jesus physically rose from the dead. He had a new resurrected body. And yet it was different and yet the same. He could eat and he could be touched. And so I think for us now, our picture of Jesus in heaven is of the one who is both God and man. He took his human nature into heaven with him. and this is the great thing about the resurrection, you know, that he's still human. And as he prays for us, he has his humanity as well as his divinity as he is in heaven with God. And so because Jesus rose in a physical body, there is this hope that he gives to each one of us, that because of Jesus, we too are going to rise from the dead and have a new resurrection body in the same way that he did. He's going to give us a body that's imperishable. In John 11:25, Jesus said this, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, they will live." And later on in John 14:19, Jesus says, "Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. And because I live, you also will live." It's really great, isn't it? Because Jesus lives, we also will live. And we'll be like him, and we'll be with him forever. It's a wonderful promise, isn't it? So if we go back and look at our passage again, after Jesus has convinced the disciples it's him, he turns to some key truths and he wants to remind them of. And I really have been enjoying reading the resurrection stories on my iPhone. I was looking at this passage on the red letter version. I don't know if any of you have a red letter version of the Bible. It puts all of Jesus' words in red. So as you go through the New Testament, we can just see and immediately see the things that Jesus said. And it really struck me about this passage this morning that no one else said anything except Jesus. And so there's a lot of red, all the words that Jesus said and things that he wanted us to know. And so I thought it was really special. And he's wanting to communicate with us. And so he's wanting to remind them of the truth of the gospel. Something that he's been saying to them over and over and over again, he has to repeat again in our reading today. He needs to ensure, and this is a priority for Jesus, for the disciples, and for us, that we truly understand the gospel and why he came on earth. It was like mission critical to him. He told them a number of times about his death and resurrection. I just wanted to read three of them that really stood out to me. The first time is after the miracle of the feeding of 5,000 in Luke 9:21. And Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day raised to life." And the second time he repeats this, it was after the transfiguration. And they would have seen the glory of God and the glory of Jesus. And he says to them in Luke 9, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." But they didn't understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. And Matthew's gospel adds to this, that they were filled with grief. It just really, all they could see was that Jesus was going to be dying and that they couldn't get the whole picture. And the third time was when they were on their way to Jerusalem, coming up to where Jesus rode on the donkey on Palm Sunday. And Mark 10:32 says this, "Again he took the 12 aside and he told them what was going to happen to him. And he said, 'The Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They'll condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise.'" And Luke adds to this account that the disciples didn't understand. They didn't understand. And they found it really hard to grasp the gospel. So sometimes when it's so clear to us about Jesus coming to earth, dying for our sins and rising from the dead, sometimes we can forget that it's very hard for other people to really get the Bible story, the main truth of the gospel. I know on Alpha, I just am always amazed on Alpha that people come and we have the first one is who is Jesus Christ? And then we look at, why did Jesus die? And then we look at, how can I pray? And how can I have faith? And when people are on Alpha, they always are so surprised to hear about Jesus dying for their sins and rising from the dead. And that quite often we have people say, this is totally new. I never realized this. I've never heard this before. It's just totally new. Well, you know, they would have heard as kids or somewhere along the line, but they never really got it. But somehow they suddenly wrote, no, I never really knew this. This is all news to me. And it's a bit like that for them. They didn't really get it. And so now's the time for Jesus to help them understand. And this is the bit that we come into, that we have a switch where he thinks, okay, they still don't really understand. And so it says in the passage that he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And it's so important, isn't it, for us to have Jesus helping us understand. It's without the work of the Holy Spirit, we really completely can't understand the truth of the gospel. And any of us who've come to faith in Jesus can testify the differences made to us when we read the Bible. I know when I first became a Christian, it was like, oh, I've been brought up as a Catholic, you know, but when I heard the gospel, it was like, really? And it just all came alive to me. And then when I started reading the Bible, it became life to me then. I suddenly could understand the Bible. I'd read it loads of times, but it never meant anything to me. It was just in my head. And suddenly it all made sense, and everything I was reading in the New Testament, it all just came together because the Holy Spirit was at work. And we all find that, don't we? We read, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us, helps us understand. And so maybe, I don't know where everyone is today, but if you're feeling, maybe you're not completely in that place, that it's an idea, you've got head knowledge, but it hasn't gone into your heart. You know a bit in your head, but Jesus hasn't come into your heart. And perhaps today's the day for you to ask him into your heart. So that would be great. So after he reminds them of this truth that the Son of God came to die and to suffer and then to be raised from the dead, he says to them, you are my witnesses. And I kind of felt that was one of the big things that God wanted us to take on board today. And as he spoke to the early apostles, of course, they were eyewitnesses, weren't they? They had seen Jesus perform many healings and miracles and give amazing teaching. And they saw him live a sinless life. And they were witnesses to his crucifixion and his resurrection from the dead. So we too are witnesses, though, that Jesus says to each one of us, you are witnesses. You've asked Jesus into your life. You've come to know him as your Lord and Savior. You're a witness of all the change and the many things he's done in your life and other people's lives. And I know it can be one of the scariest things to do, to share our faith, to talk about our faith. And I just wanted us all to know that we only have to just witness to what the Lord guides us to say. We don't have to have this amazing story. It can be really something simple. And so I was going to share the simplest testimony I've ever heard was before I became a Christian, I had loads and loads of questions, and I would just quiz. I was at uni, and I was questioning all the time, and I was really negative. I remember this, and so this one day, I'll just never forget it. I'd been invited to a Christian meeting, and there was a guy, he was chatting with me, and I kept asking him all these questions, where did evil come from, and why is there so much suffering? It's all the awkward questions, and he just struggled to answer anything. And then there was this moment where he just stood and looked at me. He said, "Well, Lorraine, I can't really answer all these questions, but I do know one thing. I know one thing, and I know that Jesus is alive, and he's living in me." And honestly, I just felt someone like hit me with a hammer. I was like, oh, it really spoke to me. And that was all he said. I know that Jesus is alive and he's living in me. But the Holy Spirit just spoke to me in that moment. And I felt this kind of warm touch of God. And so it doesn't have to be complicated. It can be simple. And it can be just showing love to someone, can't it? But I feel because there's so much skepticism today, about faith and in our world, and yet people are really thirsty, aren't they? They're wanting to have meaning in life. We so much need the power of the Holy Spirit, don't we, working in our lives. You know, we want to know what to say to someone. Sometimes we're there and we think, what can I say that could help this person come to know Jesus? And we don't always know. And yet Jesus knows, and the Holy Spirit knows. And we so need the power of the Holy Spirit to give us boldness. You know, because like Jesus says, we are witnesses. We are because we have him in our lives are a witness. And what we say can witness to other people. And so the early disciples also needed the power of the Holy Spirit. And straight after Jesus says, you're my witnesses, he says, I'm going to send you what the Father has promised. Stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. And so for them, they had to wait. And for them, what waiting entailed was they gathered together. And it says they were meeting every day. In the book of Acts, it said they met every day and prayed together and waited for the Holy Spirit to come. And it said in Acts 1, 12 to 14, they all joined together constantly in prayer. So I feel that if we want to share our faith, we've got to do something similar. We need to join together and pray that God will give us power and that we and to wait so that we can receive the Holy Spirit and have the Holy Spirit filling us afresh every day. And so we need to expect that the Holy Spirit is going to come when we meet together. Sometimes we can forget that, and we can always be reminded all the time because it's so important, isn't it? And we wait on the Lord, don't we, in our private times, but we come together and we receive the Holy Spirit, don't we? And we receive the power of God to transform us into being witnesses for him. And later on in Acts 1:8, Jesus says to him just before he ascends, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. And I kind of feel this is what experience is that God wants for each one of us. He wants us to come to know the risen Lord Jesus, knowing that he died for us on the cross, he suffered and died for us, and that we can have him in our lives. And even though we're flawed, like the disciples, we can lean on Jesus, can't we, and receive his power. So I just wanted to invite us all right now, we're going to have a prayer, to just pray together to receive the Holy Spirit and ask that we could encounter Jesus every day. Because Jesus is our living hope, isn't he? He's our living hope. He's alive. He's here right now in our midst. And he wants to touch each one of us. And so we pray. Lord, we thank you for your message right at the beginning of this word from Luke. We thank you for your message of peace, where you said to the disciples, peace be with you. And we thank you for the message in John 14:27, where you said, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. And so we say, come, Lord Jesus, right now. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. May we have more power as we live our lives day by day, that you would transform us more and more into your likeness day by day. And we just receive you right now. And we just put our hands out and we just wait for a moment just to let the Holy Spirit come and touch us. And we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak to us. Fill us.